Welcome to Mindful Living with Miraval on the Mrs. Green's World Radio and Podcast Network. Miraval Resort and Spa has been blessed with the most amazing team of healers, health practitioners, and wellness providers who spend their lives creating and teaching the magic of living in the moment. Today, we're going to hear some of their stories.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mindful Living with Miraval Resort and Spa. This is Gina Murphy-Darling from the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Our guest for this segment of Mindful Living is none other than the extraordinary Andrew Wolf. I have interviewed him on my regular show. Thanks for chuckling there, Andrew. We're going to have fun, too. Our topic for today is from Andrew's chapter in the book from this award-winning destination and the book Mindful Living by Miraval. Andrew's chapter is, of course, the very first in the book, January, Your Exercise Prescription for Weight Loss. Andrew, I'm delighted to have you with us for this series.
Oh, it's great to be here.
It's going to have some fun. And since time will fly, because you and I always have fun, let's just get right into it with one of the first questions that I have asked you before, and you get to answer it again for this series. Why does the same feeling of exertion, like when I'm spinning, seem to yield fewer and fewer results over time? Does my body get used to it? Does a person's body get used to a certain exercise, or is something else going on?
Well, it's something a little different. I always like to remind people that when it comes to cardiovascular fitness, at least, like the things you do when you spin and you're on a treadmill and you're on an ellipse and things of that nature, is your aerobic capacity either gets better or it gets worse in 3-week increments. So if you do something new and challenging for 3 weeks, your body gets the picture and it adapts and gets a little better. If you take 3 weeks off because of a family emergency or because you twisted your ankle or, you know, any number of things, it gets a little worse. And here's the interesting thing. Let's just say in your case, 140 beats per minute is where you spend most of your time. Heart rate-wise when you're
right.
in spin class. 140 beats per minute will always feel like 140 beats per minute for you.
It does.
But if your aerobic abilities have gone down, what happens is you don't have to turn the crank on the spin bike quite so many times to get there. And as you get more fit, you have to turn the crank on the spin bike a few more times to get there. But the feeling that you have, the sensation of, okay, this is how much work I'm doing, is exactly the same.
Okay.
So what you will get is a sensation of, okay, I'm doing the same exact work. Why doesn't it do what it used to do when I was 35? And the reason is because we have jobs and we have kids and, you know, we are forced sometimes to take little 3-week, 6-week, 9-week, 12-week chunks off. And when we do that, the fitness goes down, and our job is to buy that back.
And when you start over, it's like when you get on a bike for the first time, and then you get on it after a while, you remember. But when you exercise, the things that I do, if I take a break, it's like starting all over again. It's awful.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts, well, and the muscles are sore. It's like there's no forgiveness in the exercise world.
No, and especially not in the 40-plus category. You know, when you're a kid, you can take 2 weeks off. It's no big deal.
Right.
You know, once you get 40-plus, you're like, oh, boy, those 2 weeks are killing me.
And given the demographic of Miraval, that's a really good thing to point out because it is somewhat older for the most part. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's just, you know, and we just, it's interesting because, you know, when you look at work, you know, we think of work as, okay, you know, work on your skill set, develop your career, peak, you know, really develop mastery, retire, and relax. And, you know, and that's a trajectory we're used to looking at. Whereas in exercise, you know, we're human critters. We're meant to wander around a lot and look for food. So, you know, there's no real retiring from exercise. Your exercise is certainly going to evolve in terms of its intensity and its duration, but it's never really something that you can retire from. And that's a mentality that people got to kind of get around.
I know. It's really important. And we have so many of us have sedentary jobs, sit in front of a computer 8, 10, 12 hours a day. Let's talk about, you have an interesting concept that you talk about and in emphasizing the importance of aerobic ability. And why do you refer to it as the umbrella concept?
Well, because I get people in my office who come in because they want to lose weight. And then in the next hour, I'll have someone come into my office because they have an incredible family history of heart disease and they don't want to die of a heart attack in their 50s. And then I have someone come into my office and they've just been told by their physician that that they have the beginnings of type 2 diabetes and they want to get on top of it without medications. And those are three different things that you're looking at. But the umbrella concept, the overarching concept that covers all of those is aerobic capacity.
Okay.
Because as aerobic capacity or aerobic ability goes up, the amount of calories you can burn per minute goes up. So as aerobic ability goes up, the amount of calories you can burn in 30 minutes on the elliptical goes up a little bit.
Okay.
And the higher that calorie burn goes, the easier it is to lose weight, the easier it is to burn enough calories to really kind of make a dent in your risk for heart disease, and the easier it is to burn enough calories so you can get your type 2 diabetes in check.
Okay, I got it, and that will be helpful for everybody listening to the series. What about muscle? When you are losing weight, is there harm in losing a little muscle, or should you work to build muscle, which everybody says, okay, you didn't lose a lot of weight, but that's because muscle's heavier than fat, and I just want to...
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, if you and I sit down, I mentioned to you before we started the show that, you know, my wife and I just had a little daughter, and,
I know,
with that, you know, I gained a little bit of weight with the doing things around the house. And the interesting thing is, as I get back on the bike and I drop, you know, the weight that I dropped, I'm probably going to lose a little bit of muscle because I'm in a caloric deficit. You know, if I'm moving more than I'm eating, you know, I always say this in my lecture, you basically have to eat a piece of yourself as you lose weight. It's kind of a bizarre concept.
But I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, at the end of the day, if you haven't eaten enough, you have to, you know, chew on yourself, basically.
Right.
And mostly that's going to come from fat, but a little bit of it is going to come from muscle. The danger is with the yo-yo dieters, the people who lose the same 20 pounds over and over again.
Right.
And every time they lose that 20 pounds, they lose 1-2 pounds of muscle. You know, after the fifth or sixth time around, they've lost so much muscle that they will start to lose ability. They will start to the ease with which they get out of a chair, the ease with which they take care of overhead luggage, the ease with which they do things that they used to take for granted, it won't be there anymore. And that's where the importance of lifting weights as you lose weight comes in. Because if you lose enough muscle, you will start to lose function.
It's so unbelievably important that you brought that up, especially, like you say, for the over 40 group. Instead of cutting down on your exercise, you need to really pump up the volume, literally, and start picking up those weights. And it does make you feel better. You actually talk about and really emphasize disease prevention, and you talk about calorie burn per week. Is it important how you do the exercise or just do it?
Just do it.
Love
it. You know, and the reason I talk about calories per week is, you know, there's in the research, they want to quantify things and make things very simple. So as opposed to saying, well, you do the ellipse and you ride the bike, they just say, look, people who burn X amount of calories per week, say it's 2,000, do a pretty good job of not getting heart disease. So it's just a really simple way to quantify it. And whether you get there on a bike or on an ellipse or in a pool or with some circuit weights, it really doesn't make a difference. The real key is just let's burn those calories.
And what do you say about frequency? Because I just read a book, and it's called Younger Next Year. I loved it. And it really says, if you're in my demographic, the older you get, the more you, 3 days a week, not so good. 4 days a week, great. 5 days a week, excellent. 6 days a week, optimal, even if you do something little. What's your spin on that?
Well, for me, this comes back to this whole idea of exercise as an anti-inflammatory tool. You know, when you burn calories, you produce substances in your body that have the ability to hold back chronic low-grade inflammation to some degree. And that chronic dose of exercise, that 5-6 days a week, acts as a chronic dose of anti-inflammation. And for, you know, and you take an x-ray of anyone over the age of 40, you're going to find some arthritis somewhere.
Right.
And if you've got a daily dose of a little anti-inflammation, maybe that arthritis is easier to deal with and it doesn't hold you back quite so much.
I got it. Now, it's a perfect segue to I know that it is your belief, this is not any mystery to me, that exercise literally has the ability to put off and prevent so many diseases like dementia, like heart disease, like colon cancer, all of the things that you don't think about when you're 28. So let's, for this
That'll
segment,
never happen to me.
It's really, no, that I'm going to live forever. What do you mean? Colon cancer, don't even talk about it. And dementia, which is affecting so many of my friends' parents at this point.
Yes. It's definitely, and it comes down to the work of this woman named Bente Pedersen. She coined this term called the diseaseome of inactivity. And basically, it's a cluster of diseases, many of which you mentioned, where the bottom line is this: if you exercise more, the likelihood of you developing those diseases is less. In the case of dementia, it's not that it completely prevents it, it's that it puts it off to a later date. But the way I always think about it is, you know, if I were to die on my 85th birthday, but on my 84th birthday I started to develop slight symptoms of dementia, I could probably live with that. But, you know, if I'm starting to show signs of dementia at 75 and I manage to, you know, make it to 85, you know, there's going to be a lot less function and a lot less joy in there. So if something as simple as going for a walk or going for a bike ride or going to a class can make it so I have more years where I'm sharp and can take for granted, you know, my mental acuity, there's no reason not to do that. Preventative piece comes down to that inflammation bit.
And I think that the mindset of I am going to be younger next year if I do this, instead of, oh, I have to be careful not to fall and, oh, I can't do that, is so pathetic. I don't want to ever have those thoughts. It's like, go away, go away. And what I do in that case is exercise, because it just makes you feel better. I'm happier when I exercise, and I think most people are. So we have to tell everybody to make sure to check out your chapter in the book. And hopefully, what I hope people will get from this segment, and you and I spoke about this before we went on air, is I don't want to be in January of next year saying, here I go with the muffin top. I overate. I stopped exercising. We're so much happier and we'll be better off if we're still fitting into those pants and dresses and not saying, here I am. I did it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And not struggling with, I wake up in the morning and
I know people ask me what I got for Christmas, and I said a muffin top, and I'm never getting that again. It's just not, I want to be healthy. And I think the integrated approach that you have at Miraval to wellness so comes across in this series. It makes me absolutely and positively thrilled. What's the biggest takeaway that you want people to have from this segment?
I guess the biggest takeaway that I would want people to take away from a segment like this is that it doesn't have to always be perfect.
Wonderful.
You know, I give out exercise prescriptions to people for a living, and when people are in my office, I'm excited and I try to optimize everything. But the fact of the matter is exercise, it can be a tool for optimal health. Exercise can also be a tool that you can use as a placeholder. If you are in a place in your life where your job is totally crazy and you work tons of hours, are you going to be able to exercise exactly as much and exactly how you should? Maybe not. But every little bit that you can get in keeps a tentacle in the exercise world. And, hopefully when the day comes where you actually have enough time to do it exactly when and how you should, you will have the ability as opposed to starting from zero.
What a pearl of wisdom. And I mean that. That's a wonderful takeaway for this segment. Thank you so much for joining us for Mindful Living with Miraval Resort and Spa. Thank you, Andrew Wolf. Please be sure to join us for our next segment with Dr. Jim Nicolai, Medical Director of the Andrew Weil Integrative Wellness Program. Dr. Jim will be talking to us about his chapter in Mindful Living, Optimal Wellness. We look forward to yet another opportunity to learn more. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gina.